Okay, I'm excited to be here today with Donna Hayes, who is the marketing director for Goodwill Northern Illinois. And Donna and I worked closely together for a recent event in Rockford, Illinois, to benefit Goodwill. So thank you so much, Donna, for kind of taking a few minutes to share some thoughts with us today.
Well, sure, Cam. I'm really looking forward to sharing the thoughts and telling you a little bit about the event.
So why don't we jump right in? Can you kind of give a little brief summary of the event, and for those people who didn't hear about it, including kind of, you know, the price of the tickets, who did it benefit, the media contribution, turnout, all that good stuff?
Sure. Well, back in September, we invited the public, our media partners, and our vendors to attend our first annual luncheon. And, of course, we utilized Jason Kotecki, which actually turns out absolutely fantastic. And one of his themes was Cure Your Adultitis. So that was the theme that we went with. And we had it at the end of September. It was a luncheon. We actually called it a recess just to make it fun and tie in with the theme. The tickets were $50 a piece, and a table of eight was for $400. The tickets included a yummy kind of special kind of throwback to your kids' lunch. And then, of course, we had some party favors and some fun things at the table, including paper airplanes, that ended up being very fun. We had a great turnout. We had close to 300 people, and the media contribution was fantastic. We had three major media sponsors. We went after a TV media sponsor, and then we went after a print media sponsor, which was the local newspaper, and then we also went after a radio media sponsored group, which was Midwest Family Broadcasting, and that radio station promoted the event on all four of their local stations, and the local TV station was WTBO, WQRF, which is the ABC and Fox affiliate here. So we started out with some great media partners. Now, that being said, they were our main media partners, but in addition, pretty much every media in the community kind of jumped in and helped sponsor the event, whether or not it was through a cable sponsorship or interviews or any additional publicity. But everybody really helped the event in its success. So it turned out great, and I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that we did get a ton of publicity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can speak to that, Donna, because we have kind of family members, as you know, who live in the Rockford area, and they just kept telling us in different capacities, like, I just saw news about this event on the TV, and I just saw I heard something on the radio, and so is that something, did you have the experience with the media going into this that when you asked for a partnership sponsorship, was that something that they kind of knew what to do in terms of or where to plug you in, or did you make suggestions? How did that come about?
Well, that came about with some experience with the media.
Yeah.
And basically, I understood the whole kind of media PSA sponsorship type concept. So I did know what I was asking for. And usually when you do ask for a media partner, that will include a certain amount of PSAs. And I know like the radio station actually ran 600 PSAs per month, and they ran it for 3 months.
Wow.
So it really varies on what they give you. But normally, if you tell them that they're going to be the main media partner and then you include their logos on all of your publicity,
yeah,
they write that. So you have to give – it has to be a little bit of a quid pro quo. So you have to make sure that you put their logos on your website and you put their logos on all the marketing materials and the posters, et cetera.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, that was just so well done from start to finish. I'm like, I mean, to know that for three, no wonder people saw it everywhere, 600 per month for 3 months.
Right. And you can't really publicize it without having that kind of support, because obviously it is a fundraiser and it is Goodwill, so you don't have unlimited budget to promote it. So you have to look at kind of creative ways to do that. And one of those ways is to make sure that you get some media partners in place right from the get-go.
Mm-hmm. And would you suggest that kind of 3-month time frame for, like, that's a good place to start all the media? Or would you say, actually, I'd back everything up and start planning everything at 6 months and then bring the media in 3 months in? Or do you have any tips based on how this went?
Well, I would say definitely get started 6 months in advance if you can. Okay. Usually the media will not start promoting anything. Even if you get 3 months of publicity, you're doing very, very well. They usually will promote it usually for like 2 months, maybe like 12 weeks. But it's usually not like an ongoing thing. And one of the things you have to keep in mind too with PSA, to give yourself some extra flexibility and some extra lead time, because PSAs are the type of spots that will get preempted if there's some cash buys. So you have to make sure that you give yourself enough time to get enough exposure with your PSAs as well.
Okay. That's interesting. Now, backing up a little bit just about the event in general, like the idea generation, can you kind of share how the idea for this event got started? I know when we started talking and you were thinking about bringing Jason as a part of it, it sounded like Goodwill hadn't really done an event fundraiser before. So how did this kind of come together, and what were your objectives kind of going into it?
Well, our objectives was to actually get a, like, an awareness of Goodwill. We've never done a fundraiser before, and so this was kind of our first touch for that, and we wanted to make people aware of Goodwill and try something unique and different. We just didn't want, your same old boring lunch that, you know, that you end up going to, and you get the rubber chicken and you sit there and, you know, an hour and a half passes by and you can't wait to run out the door. So basically we really wanted to not only brand Goodwill, but also get a lot of media exposure. And our main objective for the event, I mean, obviously we did want to make money, but for our first time, we really, really wanted to get a lot of people there. So even talking to my committee, we were thinking, okay, yes, we want to make sure that all our costs are covered, and we want to get media, and we want to get sponsors, obviously paid sponsors, but we really, really, really want to get people there at our first event. So we made that a priority and just really did a huge outreach of calling people, calling, you know, organizations, making sure everybody that we knew had an invitation, and we had a, you know, a detailed marketing plan as to when we wanted to release our invites. We never really sent out like a snail mail invite. It was all email, and we had those set out. We actually bought a list in Rockford so that we had a list of organizations, community members, and media partners, and just organizations, not-for-profits. There was a wide variety of people on the list. And so we did make that purchase because we thought that that would be worthwhile going forward, even for us doing any other type of fundraiser. So we'll be able to utilize that mailing list for other events as well. So that was a little bit of an expense, but it was well worth it because we were able to kind of time our email blast so not to be annoying to people, but we pretty much sent those out 3 times over the course of the campaign.
Okay. Interesting. And do you feel like that ended up being something that if you did it all over again, you would purchase that again? Do you think that brought people in?
Definitely. That definitely brought people in. And then the local newspaper, the Rockford Register Star, also did an email blast for us as part of our media sponsorship. Okay. So they had a separate list too of all the people that got the Register Star and all the people that they have on their list. And they have a very comprehensive email list, so that was a big help too. We noticed a bump in sales after we did that.
Okay, interesting. That was really great that they did that.
Yeah.
So overall, with thinking of those objectives, I mean, that's kind of a tall order. As I wrote them all down, I'm kind of taking notes here too, Donna. So, like, you know, as I wrote them all down, like, not only awareness, not only doing something different, your first fundraiser, getting as many people there, and meeting your costs and hopefully making money. Like, how do you feel like your objectives were met? Did you guys evaluate that?
Yeah, we were very, very happy, and we do really feel like the objectives were met. I mean, it was, I don't really think, I mean, knock on wood, I don't think that it could have gotten much better. I mean, it turned out great. We got a lot of people there. We had a lot of community members there. We had a lot of vendors, a lot of You know, just the general public too showed up. So it was just about everything that we could ask for. I mean, obviously, we always would like to make as much money as possible, but we did make money and we did cover our costs. But I think the most important factor was that we just got our name out there and we got people to attend and people were talking about it. There was quite a buzz in the community afterwards. I must have gotten probably like 25 emails from people that just said how much they loved it and how much they loved the speaker. So it was really, I was never real worried about the speaker because I knew you guys were great and it turned out just, you know, fantastic. So the key was really, I would say number one key was to make sure that you got somebody like Jason at your event. I mean, that was a huge draw and it turned out just great.
Awesome. Well, that is great. That's so cool to hear that. Obviously, we were at the event. We experienced the energy and the vibe. I mean, walking into the room when we arrived. I mean, if I could paint the picture for anybody who's listening in terms of, like, it was just so colorful and all the hard work you guys put into the decorations and the logos being on everything. And it was so well-branded, so sophisticatedly fun. Which is a fine line, Donna.
Yes.
It was such a fine line to have recess for adults without them feeling like they're in a preschool. You know what I mean?
Right. And that was a fine line that we wanted to take. We were a little nervous that we didn't want it to become silly. You know what I mean? Because
exactly.
We wanted to have a meaningful conversations and some meaningful speakers, which I think that was also Jason really hit that nail on the head as far as making it, you know, fun, really fun, and there was a lot of laughter, but yet there was some seriousness in that and things that you could actually take away from the event and start to think about. I had a lot of people actually say, well, I was really thinking about that, you know, and I want to get some stickers for my stapler, and it just all this stuff just made a whole lot of sense. So there was definitely a fine line, you know, but I think it was definitely delivered, and that was where Jason stepped in. I mean, that was, he was just awesome.
Well, and we have spent, you know, almost two decades now trying to perfect that balance of fun that adults are comfortable with, right?
Right.
It's like we all need to be pushed a little bit because we all kind of take ourselves too seriously, have adultitis. And yet there is there's a crossing the line that makes people not as open to it. And you guys just walked that so well. Just even the name tags,
well,
the table
you.
Settings. And we were just so impressed with the sophistication you brought to it while also, you know, literally everyone ate a popsicle, you know?
I know.
And everyone wanted to. And the mayor was there and the fire chief
was there.
Yeah, and so you have this level of professionalism where people are in their business attire and they're coming from lunch or they're coming from work, and yet people are eating popsicles and laughing maybe a little bit harder than they usually do, you know, on a Monday, right?
Right, exactly.
So it was so neat to see. It really was that kind of neat thing. So thinking about that magic you guys were able to, you know, execute. What do you think the magical formula was for getting the seats filled? You kind of hinted about the calls and then the lists. And so we've kind of talked about a lot of it, but was there something that was like, you know, Kim, honestly, without this wouldn't have happened? Or is there a combination of a few things?
Well, I wouldn't say that there was a magic formula. What I would say the magic formula was just pure hard work. Mm-hmm. And every day, thinking about the event and every day having a list of somebody that you're going to call or somebody that you're going to reach out to. I mean, I had a very small committee. I mean, there's only three of us worked on this.
Wow.
So we divvied up the calls and we divvied up, you know, our lists and we each had things that we had to do. But I would say that just reaching out to people that you knew and people that you've supported in the past, organizations that you might have supported, you know, that may be dragging their feet a little bit or not signing up right away. I mean, a lot of people want to do these things, but most people need a little extra push, especially for the first time. Right. I mean, once these things get going, there's a tendency to then go, oh, yeah, that event's coming up. I'm going to sign up. But, you know, for the first one, we really felt like we needed to give that extra effort. So there was a lot of grassroots effort. mm-hmm. on this. There were a lot of calls. There were a lot of follow-ups. And so kind of breaking it down so it's not overwhelming, I used to just break it down to, like, I would make 3 or 4 good contacts a day.
Okay.
You know, and I would reach out to somebody, at least 3 or 4 people a day, and then maybe follow up. So there there really was never a day that went by that I wasn't working on this and trying to fill up the tables.
Right.
So you have to take it in incremental steps, otherwise it becomes overwhelming. But if you do that and you leave yourself enough time, it can be accomplished. Because most people really do want to attend. And I did, you know, I did reach out to my friends. I have a core friend group that, you know, we support each other's activities because everybody has some organization that they're involved with. So we usually support each other's activities. So I had a couple of good friend tables there and, you know, as well as organizations. And then the media, I mean, every single media organization was represented there. So they all came through. And, but it wasn't a miracle. I mean, it was definitely a lot of hard work.
The fact that it looked like it was a miracle is like, you know, there's the magic. It's like the magic is those 3 people back in the office for 6 months out, you know, doing all this behind the scenes and building momentum and all that.
Right.
I totally can appreciate. And that's something I have with, because, you know, there's groups I'm sure that have seen this event on our website. And we've had some people reach out to us already of saying, like, oh, we'd love to do this for our group. You know, you guys are a staff that's a part of Goodwill, Northern Illinois. You know, what would you say to a volunteer team of 3? Is this something that you would even, and you know how it is when you volunteer, it's a nights and weekends kind of commitment and a little lunch hour stuff. But what's your thoughts on something like that?
Well, I think it could be just as, I think it could happen with volunteers. I mean, I work just as hard as being a volunteer as I do in my own job. I mean, I think if you take this as a project, I think it could definitely happen, but I just leave myself time, you know, so maybe leave a little bit more time if you're a volunteer versus working full time on it. So I would just, the concept and the steps would be pretty much the same as whether or not you're a volunteer or whether or not you're doing it in a job.
Okay. Makes sense. Maybe more than 6 months. Maybe more like
six months. 6 months.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I feel like I never had to worry about the speaker. Like, there's a lot of events, you know, you're kind of like, ooh, I wonder who the speaker is. And then, you know, you're really nervous about that. So the whole time I relaxed about the speaker because I knew it was going to be fabulous. That was really, I have to say, that was a big relief because if I had to try to sit there and fret over if the speaker was going to be any good, that would have been really stressful. But I knew that, you know, going in and the theme, I mean, come on, who can't work with curing adultitis? I mean, that's why. That's the most fabulous theme of all time. So the theme right there is just, you know, it kind of makes itself. I mean, you can be creative with it, but as far as the theme goes, well, you can do a lot with that. So
you guys did a good job. The language was very based around like common problems that adults have with stress and overwhelm and busyness. And so, you know, relating to a problem solution kind of marketing angle is always going to work, right?
Like
everyone feels overwhelmed and stressed and busy as adults. Like it doesn't matter. So, I think that was definitely an angle that you guys came in at that made a lot of sense. Of like, not only am I going to support Goodwill, but maybe I'll just walk away a little less stressed and get a few ideas for how to live life to the fullest, you know?
Exactly.
So there was definitely a win-win of like, I feel good about giving. I actually received something as well, you know?
Exactly.
So that's pretty cool. Okay. We're kind of winding down here, Donna. Thank you so much for your time. Would you, do you have any thoughts on like what you change next time? Like if you guys end up doing it next year, the year after, it's like the first things out of gate, like, well, this year we're for sure not doing, or we're going to do this.
The only thing that I would probably change would be perhaps how we go after our sponsors as far as our cash sponsors, not our media partners, but maybe we might kind of tweak our packages a little bit. We didn't really have anybody that went after the big one, the $5,000 package. And I think anymore, those are a little, you know, there's less and less of these big, you know, companies that can actually afford that. So we might kind of tweak those and maybe lower some of the packages and give more in our packages.
Mm-hmm.
We did feel like we gave a good deal, but I think that we could even give them a little better deal and, you know, maybe just, beef up the packages so they're more attractive. So I think that would be one thing that we would, do is, tweak our sponsorship packages.
Okay. That's good to know. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else you want to share about the event that we haven't really talked about?
No, I think we covered just about everything.
Okay. Well, I'll be happy to share pictures with, you know, to accompany this audio because, I mean, really my descriptions aren't doing it justice of how magical the table settings were and just the everything from the littlest details at the table with their gifts to, you know, even the tablecloths were multicolored. It took me a while to take it all in. I'm like, look at the detail on that. And then, of course, the paper airplanes that you guys spent so hard. Every single person, all 300 of us, received a paper airplane with both our Escape Adulthood logo and the Goodwill logo on it, which was an amazing design, by the way. I have one in my hand right now. I'm like, this is so well done. And then at the end of the whole event, Jason kind of counted to three and everybody threw them, which is what everybody wanted to do as soon as they saw it, you know?
Well, and truth be told, I didn't put that in the program because I thought, you know, I don't want this. I wanted it to be spontaneous.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to say, okay, everybody now, you know. But
right.
I couldn't, I was so happy that
aww.
I guess you had suggested to Jason to have everybody throw their, and so it was perfect because I was like, yes, this is exactly what I want to happen. But some of those things you just can't plan out.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of want it to just happen and be spontaneous. And that's what happened at the end. And it was just a fantastic end to the event. I mean, 300 paper airplanes and it made our work worthwhile to see all
the
flying.
That was
and
the moment.
Through,
right?
Which was amazing, you know.
Whenever Jason and I are working on a big project, we always have this moment where we'll look at each other like, this is the moment. This is the moment where all the hours of hard work were building to this, like, payoff, right? And that was it. And not that it's not rewarding in other ways and throughout, you know, but you do have that moment where you're like, yes, okay, that was the cherry on top. Thank you. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
And I will say one thing that I will want to bring up is I do think it's really important to have a good relationship with the caterer and with the organization that you're having the event at because I will tell you, we went around to about five different places and kind of explained our concept and people didn't understand it, and they were even like one particular person kept on saying, "Oh, so when's the cocktail hour?" And I'm like, "No, we're not having." So we go to Cliff Breakers, and Sarah, the catering manager, the minute we explained it to her, she got it like instantly. I mean, and she was super excited about it, and so she was really helpful too in implementing everything. So you really have to have. You have to be able to work with somebody very closely with the caterer. You have to be able to ask for things, and you have to be able to deliver, and you have to kind of press for the extra mile. You know, like, I mean, we went, you know, like, the delivery of all this stuff just didn't happen. I mean, we went through it, you know, step by step. I mean, there's a lot of the things that happen with the extra details and just going into the extra details really make a difference between a good event and a great event. So we were just very cognizant of every single detail, and we went through every single detail with our catering manager and just made sure everything from, like, how the lemonade was being served to, you know, down to how the food was going to be served, from the little ketchup bottles and all that stuff. So, very important to work with your catering person.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, we've had six of our Escape Adulthood summits that we host, and we've dealt with maybe three different caterers in four different locations, or, you know, like, and I will say I can agree more. I mean, they definitely need to be in on the details or things get missed because they assume your event is like every other event they're doing. And the cool thing is it's just not, this is going to be different, you know,
exactly
approaching it. And I will say, too, we received great feedback from the folks that we knew that attended on the quality of the food, because when you do something playful and childlike, oftentimes there could be a risk taken with the quality. And I know that sounds like, well, why would it be? But, you know, it's like chicken nuggets or a corn dog or whatever childlike spin you're taking on it. You really don't want to feel like you're eating a child's dinner. You know what I mean? But you do want to be able to go back to childhood with this food aspect. So, oh my gosh, I thought the sliders, everything was really, again, sophisticatedly fun and executed on a quality that made you feel like you were eating a grown-up's lunch, but it was childlike fare, you know?
Right. Well, we did, we did have a taste testing, you know, we did do a taste testing with them. And so that was all planned out in advance. They brought in like several different things. So we narrowed it down to that after we did have a taste testing. So yeah, you think of taste testing for chicken strips, but we did.
We have gone without certain things like that before, Donna, in the press for time of like, well, it'll be fine. And then you regret it. And then you look back and go, yeah, that wasn't executed like I hoped. You know, their vision didn't match our vision. And it was because we just didn't take the time to make sure it did, you know?
Yeah. So I would think that would be one of the key components to make sure that, that you do work very closely with the caterer and that they know your expectations. And, you know, I was just at the point where I said, look, you know, this has to be, I mean, I will say there were there were a few tense moments about making sure that we had X, Y, and Z and what was in the contract and stuff, but it all worked out great and everybody was totally friends and happy at the end. But it does, you do definitely have to ask for stuff and make sure that it's delivered. Because it's your reputation on the line. Yeah. And it's, you know, a lot of people are coming and you want to make sure that everything goes as best as you can possibly make it.
And it was kind of, I would say, a little bit of a tight time frame, everything. And we worked through that a couple of times, didn't we, Donna, with, you know, people arrive at 11:30 and we're hoping they leave at 1. So to be able to execute a 300-person plated meal with dessert, I think is pretty impressive with a speaker in there, you know, and all the messaging from your president of Goodwill. And you guys had a neat testimonial that was so heartwarming. And of course, your MCs were a part of it from the media. So when you really start breaking that down, it's so clockwork that if the catering gets the timing wrong, it really can be a domino of bad, right?
well, definitely. And that's when you really do have to have a run of show, which is what we put together was a run of show.
Yeah.
And then we worked with the caterer, so we knew. And then so we started with that recess bell. But I will tell you that, I might have repeated myself to the point of almost no return about how many times we told people to make sure to get there at 11:30.
Yeah.
So like a week before the event, we sent out emails to everybody that we had and all the organizations that said, please make sure that you know that event starts at 11:30 sharp.
Right.
Because a lot of events just have like a half an hour of, you know, kind of networking, and this was not the case. So we wanted to make sure everyone knew that. So we did try to get that message out, and I think most people heeded it because most people were there at 11:30, and then we rang that recess bell. But having the run of show is really important. And having a dress rehearsal, like we ran through it on Sunday. We had the video company actually came and set everything up on Sunday before.
Yeah.
And so we had everybody from the newscasters on down that came and we did a dry run. And boy, I'll tell you what, that really helped enormously. Because you're not nervous about it then, and you know what to expect, and you can kind of work through any kind of bugs and make sure that the timing is correct. So having a dry run or rehearsal was really important.
Yeah. Well, those are great aspects to add into the process, because you do all this work trying to market it, and then you get to the actual execution of the day. That's a whole different mindset. That's a whole different process, right?
Exactly. It is. Yeah. So these things are kind of coming back to me as we're talking.
No, it's helpful to kind of dissect it a little bit because it really is two different mindsets, you know? So that's very helpful to kind of articulate that. So, well, thank you so much, Donna. Thank you enough for all the collaboration that we shared and also just being able to evaluate it together. And and to be able to share this with future events to raise some good money for other organizations. So it's just a win-win all around, and we're so grateful to have been able to be a small part of it all.
Sure, and if any organization, you know, wants to use our template, or, you know, wants any additional ideas or what we did to decorate the tent, I mean, I'm more than happy to talk to them. So any help that I can give in that regard, we're happy to share any information. So
thank you, Donna. Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Kim, and today. Thank you so much. Everybody loved your artwork too. That was a big hit, by the way.
Cool.
And we appreciated the check. We got that check, so thank you very much.
Good. Yeah.
And it was, I couldn't believe the lineup after the event for people lining up to check out your product.
It's a neat way to kind of keep the message out there and, like, keep connecting with people. So we obviously invited people to join our mailing list, and mm-hmm. You know, people have signed up, and now we have an event coming up next month for kind of an art collecting event, which I think I just sent you a little info about.
Oh, you did, yeah.
And I know at least two people are coming that learned about him at that event. So it's just neat how, it's just neat how everything kind of keeps intersecting, and you just, you know, I love that part of our work of, like, finding out, how did you get into the mix? And it's like, who knows where they found out about the Goodwill event, right? And then here they are coming to our event, and it just kind of keeps growing and evolving. It's neat to see, for sure.
Oh, right. And I think that people were asking me too, like, where did you find this guy? I mean, I can't believe that Rockford hasn't had him before. So there was, I can't tell you how much positive feedback I got about the speaker.
Oh,
I mean,
it
was overwhelming. So it was phenomenal. I just sat there and listened to it, and I was like, oh my gosh, I just could not be any more perfect. So it just, it was great.
Well,
yeah, his message tying into Goodwill and everything just was really right on point.
That's awesome. It was a good mission match, for sure, of, like, the way we're looking at life and the way you guys support people, and to be able to collaborate and do that together is just, it's the coolest part of our work, for sure. So, well, thank you, Donna. I really appreciate your time and sharing your insights here, and just let me know how we can help you in the future.
Okay, will do. Well, I'm sure we'll be in touch.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks so much. Take care.
Thank you, Kim. Okay.
Bye.
Bye.